something from Psalm 87. Psalm 87. You'll notice when you look at the psalm in the title, Psalm 87 is one of the psalms of the sons of Korah. Now, the Korahites were a prominent Levitical family. That is, they were part of the tribe of Levi. They could be traced all the way back to Korah, who we hear about in the book of Numbers. And if you were to go back to Numbers and you read there about Korah, you'll find actually that what is said about him is not at all positive. In number 16, we learn that Korah was one of the men who was jealous of Moses and Aaron and sought to lead a rebellion against them. And because of his jealousy and rebellion, the Lord put him to death in a very dramatic way. However, many centuries later, members of that family, the sons of Korah, would serve at the temple in Jerusalem. Some of them were involved in guarding the temple, and some were involved in the music and singing of the temple. So they were not priests, but as Levites, the sons of Korah were heavily involved in the worship in Jerusalem. They were involved in the choirs and the music at the temple. And they were also involved in writing some of the inspired psalms that we have in the book of Psalms. In fact, when you go to the book of Psalms, you'll find that 12 of the psalms are from the sons of Korah. And that includes this psalm, Psalm 87, that we're going to look at this morning. Now, this is a psalm that is all about Jerusalem, or Zion, as it is given in the psalm. It is a psalm that celebrates the city of God, the city in which God established his dwelling among his people. So let's listen to it together. Let's hear this celebration of God's holy city. Psalm 87, we hear now the word of God. He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me, Philistia too, and Tyre along with Cush, and will say, this one was born in Zion. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. As they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Well, Father in heaven, we thank you for this psalm this morning that celebrates the city of God, Zion. We pray, O Lord, that as we consider it together, you would grant understanding. And we pray, O Lord, that as your people, our hearts and minds would be shaped and by this psalm and reflect the truth of this psalm, and that we truly would be people who love Zion, the city of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the book of Deuteronomy, we find Moses telling the children of Israel that when they entered the promised land, the Lord would establish a special place for his dwelling. After they entered the land, there would be a place where God would put his name and establish his house among the people. There would be a place that the people would travel to, a place where you would go to celebrate the feasts and offer the worship and the sacrifices. There would be a place where God would set up his house and where the people would go for worship. Listen to how Moses describes this in Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, where it says, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give and your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. So in the promised land, there would be a place that God would choose from all the tribes of Israel. There would be a place where God put his name for his dwelling. And there the children of Israel would go. They would bring their tithes and offerings and their sacrifices. So that's what Moses said here to the children of Israel before they entered the promised land. That's what God would do. Now, it's interesting. When Israel finally entered the promised land, there wasn't a permanent place for God's dwelling right away. During the time of the judges, we hear about the Ark of the Covenant being at Bethel. Later on, we hear about the Ark being at Shiloh. For a time, it was captured by the Philistines, and then it ended up for several years at Kiriath-Jearim. We also hear about the tabernacle being at Shiloh. Later, under King Saul, the tabernacle was moved to Nob, and then later it was moved to Gibeon. But there was no permanent place where the Lord established his dwelling among the people. No permanent place, no city of God where the Lord put his name and established his house among them. However, that all changed when the Lord made David to be king over Israel. When David became king, one of the things that he did was take the fortified city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites and establish it as the key city of his kingdom. We read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "The king," and that's David, "and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, 'You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off.'" They thought, "David cannot get in here." Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. So David took Jerusalem. As it says here, he captured the fortress of Zion. And by the way, Zion or Mount Zion, while it seems to have referred to a specific hill, ended up being basically another name for Jerusalem. That's what we see here in Psalm 87. Zion is simply another way of speaking of Jerusalem. In fact, in some cases, Zion was used synonymously for the entire nation. It was a synonym for the entire nation of Israel. And so David conquered Zion or Jerusalem and made it the key city of his kingdom. And then what is more, he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city and set up a tent for it. So under David, the Ark, which represented God's throne, his presence, came to Jerusalem. And then years later, David obtained the land for the temple and made plans and arrangements for the building of the temple, which would eventually be carried out by his son, King Solomon. And do you remember what happened when King Solomon had completed the temple at its dedication? We learn that the glory of God came down from heaven and filled the temple, showing that the Lord had truly come to dwell among the people. And so under David and then Solomon, the words of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy finally came to be fulfilled. Jerusalem became the permanent place where the Lord established his dwelling among his people. Of all the tribes, it was Jerusalem where the Lord put his name and established his dwelling. It was the place of the temple. It was the place that where the priests served the sanctuary. It was the place where the children of Israel went to celebrate the feasts and offer their sacrifices and offerings. There was no other place like it. There was no other place in Israel or anywhere else where God established his dwelling. And so that's why Jerusalem was so important to the people of Israel. And that is why we have Psalms like this one by the sons of Korah that celebrate Jerusalem, the city of God. Notice here, this is all about Jerusalem. It's a psalm that the children of Israel sang to celebrate Jerusalem and to express their love for the city of God. Again, notice verse 3, it says, "Glorious things are said of you, O city of God." So this morning, we're going to look together at this psalm and this city, this glorious city that the psalm is speaking of and celebrating, Jerusalem, Zion, the city of God. We're going to begin by looking at what this psalm tells us about Jerusalem or Zion. What does it say to us? What does it say about this city of God? Well, you'll notice that the psalm begins by describing God's love for Jerusalem. Again, verse 1, notice what it says. "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." Notice it speaks of the gates of Zion, and that's simply a poetic way of speaking of Jerusalem. And of course, Jacob here refers to the entire nation of Israel. And so in other words, it's saying that God loves Jerusalem more than any of the other cities or villages or towns, more than all the dwellings in Israel. Of all the dwelling places in Israel, God loves Jerusalem the most. It is the city that is especially precious to him. It is the city that the Lord especially loves. We see the same idea in Psalm 78, beginning in verse 68, where it says, "But he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever." So what this is teaching us is that there is something absolutely unique about Jerusalem. It is like unlike any other place in Israel, and it is a place that the Lord has a special love for this place. He loves it more than any other city. And then further, you'll notice that the psalm anticipates a day when the Gentile nations, even some of the enemies of Israel, would come to Jerusalem and worship God. The Gentiles would come to Jerusalem. They will love Jerusalem. And in fact, they will be like honorary citizens of Jerusalem. They will be treated as if they had been born in Jerusalem. Listen again what it says beginning in verse 4, where the Lord says, "I will record Rahab." Now, Rahab refers to Egypt, Israel's enemy, and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Philistia, that's the Philistines, too, and Tyre, along with Cush, and will say, "This one was born in Zion." Indeed, of Zion it will be said, "This one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, 'This one was born in Zion.'" Do you see what that's saying? It's saying that a day will come when the people of these nations, even these nations who are enemies, will be like citizens of Jerusalem. They will belong to Jerusalem. In fact, they will be treated as if they were born there. The Lord will say, "This one was born in Zion." Why? Because these Gentiles will come to know the Lord, and they will come to Jerusalem, and they will worship the Lord in his holy city. So there is this expectation here of Gentiles coming to the Lord and coming to Jerusalem as their own city. By the way, this is a theme that we see in many other places in the Old Testament scriptures. For example, listen to the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 2, where it says, Isaiah says this, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" So the Gentile nations are going to come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Even the Gentiles will love the city of God. So that's what this psalm is saying about Jerusalem. That God loves this city more than any other city, and it anticipates a day when the Gentiles will also love the city of God and will be counted as members of the city of God. It's a wonderful description that we're given here. However, it also raises some questions. Just think for a moment. Think about the actual history of the city of Jerusalem. Think of what happened there. Because of Israel's unfaithfulness, the Lord gave Jerusalem into the hands of their enemies. We see that first of all with Babylon. In the early 6th century BC, the Babylonians came into Jerusalem under Nebuchadnezzar, and remember what happened? They absolutely destroyed it. In fact, the temple that Solomon built as the house of God was burnt right down to the ground. And the Bible is clear, this was the judgment of God. God brought the Babylonians as judgment upon the people. He gave Jerusalem into the hand of the Babylonians, who destroyed it. And then a few centuries later, in the intertestamental period, we hear about Jerusalem under attack by Antiochus Epiphanes. The temple that had been rebuilt in the book of Ezra was defiled during that time in the 2nd century BC. And then we go ahead to the 1st century and the time of our Lord Jesus. What did our Lord say would happen to the city of Jerusalem and to the temple? Remember, he prophesied complete destruction. Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2, it says, Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And that's exactly what happened. In AD 70, approximately 40 years after our Lord's resurrection, the Roman army came into Jerusalem and it was absolutely destroyed. Temple, buildings, everything. It was leveled. Not one stone left upon another. Now, what does that mean for Jerusalem, the city of God? And what is more, when we read the history of Israel and the history of Jerusalem, we never hear about a time when the Gentile nations came to Jerusalem in any way like what is described here in the Psalm. We never hear about a day in which Egypt and Philistia and all these other nations came to Jerusalem to worship God and were treated as if they were born in Jerusalem. We never hear of in the Old Testament of anything like what is described here in Psalm 87 or in Isaiah chapter 2. So we have this beautiful description of Jerusalem on the one hand. However, the history of Jerusalem in the Old Testament presents us with something of a different picture. How are we to understand this? Well, what we have to see and understand is that the city of Jerusalem was always pointing to something greater. That city that was established by David and in which Solomon built the temple, it was always a picture. It was what we call a type or a shadow that pointed beyond itself. It was pointing to an even greater city. It was pointing to the heavenly Zion and to the true city of God that would be established through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible teaches us that God's throne is ultimately in heaven. Yes, the Lord did establish his presence in the Jerusalem temple in a unique way, but the true Mount Zion is in heaven where the Lord sits on his throne. And what is more, the Bible shows us that when our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, had offered the perfect sacrifice for sin on the cross, the sacrifice of the new covenant in his blood, he did not then enter the earthly temple in Jerusalem. Again, that temple was a picture, a shadow. Rather, he entered the true sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, the throne room of God that is in heaven. Listen to these verses from Hebrews chapter 9. It says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places of heaven, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." And then further down it says, "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, not into the temple of Jerusalem, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." In other words, having offered the perfect sacrifice for sin and having been raised from the dead, our Lord went to the true Mount Zion, to the heavenly Zion, to the Jerusalem above, to enter the sanctuary of God by means of his own blood. And what is more, the Bible shows us that having accomplished eternal salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ is now saving and gathering a people for his name, a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And the New Testament teaches us that these believers who Jesus is gathering into his church are citizens of heaven, that we belong to the heavenly city. We are citizens of the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Zion, in which our Lord reigns as king. In other words, we're the people of Jerusalem. Not the city in the Middle East. That was a picture and a shadow. No, we are the people of the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly city. Listen to how Paul speaks of this in Galatians chapter 4. Here he's comparing the earthly Jerusalem that had become in his day an unbelieving city with the heavenly Jerusalem. And he says that the people of the earthly Jerusalem are in slavery because of their unbelief. And then he says, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. In other words, believers of every nation are members of the heavenly Jerusalem. She is our mother, and we have been born of her. We are citizens, members of the heavenly city. We are the people of this true Jerusalem, which is in heaven. Again, think back to Psalm 87, where it speaks of people of different nations becoming citizens of Jerusalem and being treated as if they had been born there. Remember, it says, the Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. What we have to recognize then is that these verses are filled not in the earthly city of Jerusalem, but in the heavenly Jerusalem, who is the mother of all believers. They're fulfilled in the church of Jesus Christ, gathered from all nations, who are the people of the heavenly city. Of every believer, you see, it can be said, this one was born in Zion. The person in Egypt, the person in Ethiopia, the person here in America, this one was born in Zion. This one is a son of Zion or a daughter of Zion. This one belongs to the heavenly Jerusalem in which the Lord dwells. And so, brothers and sisters, what the Bible shows us is that we are the people of Jerusalem, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true Mount Zion is above. That's what Jerusalem of old was pointing to. It was pointing to the heavenly Zion where God dwells, and where the Lord Jesus Christ is serving as king and high priest. Jerusalem of old is pointing to that city, that heavenly city. And what we see here is that we are the people of that city. All who believe, all who belong to Jesus Christ are the people of the city of God, the New Jerusalem. And when we come together as the church of Jesus Christ on the Lord's Day to worship God, that's the city that we're coming to. You know, we don't make a pilgrimage to that place in the Middle East. No, through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to the throne of God in heavenly Zion. Listen to how the letter to the Hebrews speaks of this. Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, and it's speaking to believers here, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Brothers and sisters, that's our city. And that's the city that we come to today. Through the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly city, to the throne of the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've come to the city that is our mother and of which we are members, the New Jerusalem. When we come to church on the Lord's Day, we come together as the people of Jerusalem, the children of Zion, and we approach God's throne in the heavenly city, our city, the city of God. That's what we're doing today. That's what we've come for today. And so when we read the Bible and go to Psalms like Psalm 87 that speak of Jerusalem or Zion, this is the city that we are to be thinking of. When we come together and sing Psalm 87, or when we sing the hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, Zion City of Our God, this is the city that we are to think of. This is the city that we are singing about. When we sing of Zion, we're not singing of that place in the Middle East. When we sing and pray about Jerusalem, we're not thinking about a city on this earth 6,000 miles away. No, we're singing of the heavenly Zion, the city of the living God, the Jerusalem above that is our mother and of which we are its people. That's how we understand this psalm. That's how we sing this psalm. And that's ultimately the city that this psalm is speaking about when it said the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. This is the city that the Lord loves more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Jerusalem of David and Solomon was just a picture. But the heavenly Zion, that is the reality to which the picture was pointing. The heavenly city, Jerusalem above, Zion city, the city of God. That's the city that we delight in. That's the city that we celebrate and which we sing about. And so let me ask you today, is this city, is it your city? Is this Jerusalem above your city? Are you a son or daughter of Zion? If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you belong to Christ, it is your city. If you belong to Christ and your sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Jerusalem above is your mother. And brothers and sisters, let me ask you further, do you love this city? Do you love to come to Zion with God's people on the Lord's day? Do you love to come to the throne of God in the heavenly Jerusalem? And do you love the people of Jerusalem, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, the sons and daughters of Zion? Do you love the city of God of which this Psalm 87 speaks, such that you can say, glorious things of thee are spoken, O city of God? And yet in this present world, we only get a taste of this city, don't we? As believers, we know that we belong to the heavenly Jerusalem, the Jerusalem above. We know that this city is our mother and that we are the sons and daughters of it, of her. And yet we still live here in this present world, this present fallen world. And when we come before God's throne in worship and in prayer, we get a taste of the heavenly city, but there is a sense in which we're still waiting, isn't there? We're still waiting for a day when we will dwell with the Lord in Zion fully and finally. There's a sense in which we're still waiting to know and fully experience the city of God. We're still waiting for the day when the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven and the Lord will spread his tabernacle over us and we will dwell with the Lord and he will dwell with us, his people. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we learn that our father Abraham was waiting. He was looking for the heavenly city. Hebrews 11:10, it says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." That's what Abraham was looking for. And of course, that hope was not fully realized in the promised land or in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem of David and Solomon. That hope is still to be fulfilled. That hope will be fulfilled in the coming heavenly city. And so like Abraham, we are also waiting for that city to come. We're waiting for a day when we will finally dwell in the city of God, in the presence of God. And we know that that day will come, for we read in the book of Revelation, listen to Revelation 21, here it's describing the things that will come to pass following the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away.'" Notice that, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. That's the city. That's the glorious city of God, and that is our city. That's the city that Abraham was looking forward to. That's what Jerusalem of old was pointing to. That's what Psalm 87 is ultimately pointing us to. And we belong to that city. We are sons and daughters of that city in the present. We get a taste of it in the present, but like Abraham, we're still waiting and looking forward to the day when the holy city, our city, shall come down from heaven, and we, the people of that city, shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That city whose builder and maker is God. That's our city. That's Zion, the glorious city of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your word and for its teaching about Zion, the city of God. We thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ, we get to be sons and daughters of Zion, that we get to experience the city of God as we come before your throne, and especially on the Lord's Day among your people. And Father, we pray that as your people, we would, like Abraham, look forward to the day when that city is fully established, when we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Help us, O Lord, to go forth in this hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.